So that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. Because I live, says Jesus, we will live also. We welcome you here on this very solemn occasion to bid our final farewells to the mortal remains of our brother Jack. We bless God for every moment that we spent with him. He was the treasure of God given to us in this generation. And we hold the joys, the frustrations, the disappointments, the excitement. Behold the successes, the pains, and the hopes. Behold them as a collage that reflects a tremendous picture of beauty and grace. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, gave someone special to us. And today we are willing to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessing on us, whether we are immediate family or family because of friendship and work relations, whatever that may be, we say to God, thank you. So with this in mind, let us just sit a while and have a moment of prayer. Most gracious God, we turn to you in the sorrow and grief of our bereavement, praying that we may find the strength we need in your sustaining grace, so that even as we mourn the death of our loved one, him who we knew and greatly appreciated, we may not be overcome by this trial, but we may hold fast, trusting in your goodness and in your mercy. Holy Father, assure us that death is not the end of those who trust in you. And may our hearts be so composed in the Holy Spirit that all the fear and bitterness may be swallowed up in delight and peace that you give to your troubled children, to your aching, sorrowing children. This we pray through Jesus Christ, O Lord. And because we know that this man called Jack with all the other names, you don't want me to call all those other names. So we will just say Jack. Knew the hope of life eternal, and he will be quick to tell you it is okay. Let us stand and lift our voices in praise as we sing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Just worship his holy name. And then, of course, we are going to sing another beautiful song after that. I know you have the voices, you have the legs. Let us join them all together as we sing. Let us sing of that wonderful love of Jesus, shall we? Sing the wondrous love. Many people would love to speak, but it is not possible because of time. We're just going to have a few tributes, and we're going to ask first one of Jack's favorite nephews to come and share some words of remembrance.
Good afternoon. I feel honored that I was asked to say a few words on behalf of the nieces and nephews about our dear Uncle Jack. In keeping with Uncle Jack's persona, I will be brief. The first time I met Uncle Jack, I was about 8 years old. I remember asking him what his name was, and he told me, Jacques. Being curious at 8 years old, and the way he pronounced his name, I asked him to spell it for me. He spelled it J-A-C-Q-U-E-S. I said to him, like Jacques Cousteau, the marine explorer, and he said, yes. I then asked him, are you French? He said, no. I said, where were you born? He said, Barbados. I was firing questions off to him fast and furious. since he was able to hold up to the interrogation of a feisty 8-year-old and showing much patience with me, I thought, yeah, I like him. And that's where it all began for me. Everyone who knew Uncle Jack knew that he had a warm and pleasant disposition. And oh, did I say patient? He was very patient. He had a way of communicating with younger people that allowed him to speak to us about serious matters that maybe our parents could not reach us on. Uncle Jack always treated everyone with respect and love. He used calmness and love to disarm negative behaviors. Uncle Jack was always direct and to the point when he spoke. He did not beat around the bush. A typical visit with Uncle Jack at family gatherings went something like this. Me. Hi, Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack. Hi, Anthony, how are you doing? You behaving yourself? At this point, he already knew the answer, but he would let you respond for yourself. Yes, Uncle Jack. He took your yes, and in response, you would either get, that's good, or you got a few comments about what you should be or not doing, followed by, I'll be checking up on you. All of this was done with a smile, but you knew he expected better results soon. Whenever there was a family gathering, of course, Uncle Jack was always there with his famous souse, which I will touch on later. After saying hello to all my aunts and uncles, I always chose to hang out with Uncle Jack, who was typically with Uncle Ornan. They would always talk about world events, musicians, sports, etc. Uncle Jack loved his sports. If it was a team sport, Boston was his team. Don't get it twisted. He did support local teams as long as they were not playing Boston. I will really miss those talks that we had. He helped me connect the past with the present. He gave me an appreciation, exposure, and opportunity to give my opinion on a variety of topics. It also encouraged me to do my own research for future discussions with him. Just as I've had memorable discussions with Uncle Jack, I am sure that many of you have had your own special conversations or memories with him too. I encourage you to share his words of wisdom with someone. You never know. You might just brighten up their day. I know he brightened mine. From the time I knew Uncle Jack, I knew he always had a positive outlook on life. To me, it gave him a coolness that I admired. He would always say, I don't let anything bother me. He was not willing to let anything or anyone take away his joy of life. He basically put a bubble around it. He refused to let negative behaviors or attitudes affect him and treat others differently, or how he treated others. His character traits wasn't the only thing that Uncle Jack had going for him. He was a great cook. He knew his way around the kitchen and the barbecue. No one could make sauce like Uncle Jack. He blessed maybe 5 or 6 generations with his tasty delicacy. Sometimes he would send a care package to take home many times. Sometimes he would send a care package to take home. Many times it never made it home. It was so good, it was likely eaten inside the car. In keeping with being brief, let me say this. Nieces, nephews, let us exemplify the characteristics of our beloved Uncle Jack. That is what he wouldn't want us to do. Auntie Jenny, thank you for introducing Uncle Jack into our lives. We are all better people for knowing him. To Uncle Jack's children, grandchildren, sisters, nephews, extended family, and dear friends. Stay strong and keep his memories in your heart. God bless.
That's okay. We were told to do that. One man that had a tremendous impact on the life of Jack, all the other names, Haynes. No, I leave everyone to guess what all the other names were. Was Pastor Winston Turton. Tremendous man of God and a friend of the Haynes family in, with all capital letters. He couldn't be here because he is in the U.S. residing. So he sent his words, and I believe with his words have also come his voice. And one of the people who was also very close to Pastor Turton and is a member of the Haynes family is Joan Walsh, and she is going to share with us the thoughts and the prayers that our dear pastor has sent at this time.
I think one of the reasons he sent this to me was that I was his secretary for 17 years here. And I used to always say, how long did it take to understand your handwriting? I was supposed to be typing things out, but I could never understand. And he said, 2 years, 3 years, and you might get it. So he told Jenny that he was going to send it to me, and he called me and he said, for correction. Well, I'm not going to correct anything. The only thing I corrected, and he asked me to, was the spelling of Jacques' name, because he always called him Jack. And I noticed that I forgot a couple of places here, which I will change before I give copies to the family. But Pastor Thurton was a great man, and I understand from Jenny that on a Friday evening, with no formal invitation or anything like that, suddenly there was Lois and Winston at their door, and they'd spend the rest of the evening together. So I count it a privilege to be able to read this and know that he's watching now, probably, and he would love to be here. He writes, "The passing of Jack brought a sense of sorrow to Lois and me. Our friendship with Jack and Jenny began when I was serving at Grace Church in Don Mills. From that time until we moved to Salem, Oregon in 2003, our friendship was maintained and cherished. Every trip we made to Toronto included a visit with Jack and Jenny and the family. Although he was my equal, he always addressed me as Pastor Thurton. But that was what was appreciated about his expression was the fact that it was warm and sincere, and from a warm and sincere spirit. In all the years of our friendship, the only difference we ever had was that he rooted for the Boston Red Sox and I for the Blue Jays. I hasten to say that our friendship went far deeper than that. It was based on our mutual respect for each other. He was in private what he was in public. His warm, gentle voice made being with him a delight. This is also shared by Lois, who held him in high esteem. His love for his family was no secret. And in all the years of our friendship, I cannot recall a time when he criticized or showed contempt for anyone or complained about life. The quality of his friendship was beyond price. But the greatest joy to Lois and me was the news that Jack, my friend, had become Jack, my brother, because he had placed his trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I have in brackets, since 2014. So his passing was not a tragedy, but a triumph, because the one who had gone to prepare a place for those who love him welcomed Jack when he left us on March the 9th, 2018. So Jenny and family, you had his love and devotion throughout his life, and he has left you memories that will gladden your hearts when you remember his life and love for you. I regret that Lois and I could not be there with you, but we pray for the amazing grace of God to take you through this present journey. We sorrow, but not like those who have no hope. Prayerfully, Winston and Lois Thurton.
Jack loved music. So today's celebration cannot go without special music. We're going to have one of Jack's favorite brothers, brother-in-law, if you understand that, to come and share. Go ahead, my brother.
Thank you.
before we hear from one of Jack's special nieces, if you can put them in brackets like that, we're going to read the 23rd Psalm. I'm sorry, it's not written on the bulletin. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read it in the King James, because I believe everybody can remember it fairly well in the King James. Those of you who don't, you get a chance to do it, but say it to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, you knew it. Amen. Adia, you? Yeah. Come. The Lord will strengthen you.
Who taught the sun where to shine in the morning? Who told the ocean you could only come? This far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can?
He lives. And because we know this, we're going to stand and dance in Markham Missionary Church this morning. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Now we have the basses and the sopranos and the altos and the tenors in here, so, and the ones in between. You need it for this song, okay? Let's stand as we rejoice in these two songs, Blessed Jesus and then Because He Lives. Amen. Very pleased because that was one of his favorite songs and you sang it so well. We can't sing it again though. Because He lives, I can face every tomorrow. Let us sing. Amen. St. John 14 says this. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. King James says many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's from verse 1 to verse 6, and then verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Can you just sing very softly what Dory is playing? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones in me know, there are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Tells us so. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus puts it this way. For God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, your word says this to us. And we know that you love to speak to us in accents clear and still, sometimes in roars. But you love to speak with us. For your word says that in the cool of the day, you were in the Garden of Eden and you talked with your son and daughter, Adam and Eve. Speak to us, that this day may be a day of true rejoicing. In Jesus' name. God demonstrates his love. Jesus says God loves us. And Jesus says, I am going to prepare for you so that you can be with me. Hold those thoughts as we just pause to reflect on a few things about the one that we celebrate today. We're celebrating Jesus, but we're thanking him for this man. Jack Roger Haynes, a good man, some of you would say. Some of you would not be able to find words to put under that heading of being a good man. But I remember, I think it was at the viewing, one person who was very, very close to Jack, who called him about every day, Derek, said, "We lost a good man." Indeed, the whole Barbadian community in Canada has lost a good man. And Jack was, as one of his children openly said to me, he was a kind man. And we heard Anthony say that he was very soft-spoken. And Winston said he never knew him to say anything ill of anyone. He taught his children to be kind. Whether it was to the janitor or the man collecting the garbage, or it was to the executive in the office, taught them the importance of being respectful and kind to people. And not only this, Jack was a generous man. He gave freely. You would have heard about the sauce. You didn't hear about the sweet bread, and you definitely didn't hear about the hot sauce. But he gave his money too, and because of this, his wife had to be so strict and keep tabs on the finances. Other than that, he would not have anything to give. He would have ended, everybody in here would have been ended up in trouble. But he loved to give. He was generous. And even though he might not have felt in the mood, when he said to you he would do something, he did it. He would go out of his way to make a difference in somebody's life. Somebody said that he was a peace-loving man. You see, Jack grew up and witnessed what anger could do, the destruction anger could cause. And he purposed in himself that he would stay away from being angry. And would always try to promote peace. Ask his wife and children, his work colleagues, his friends, if they ever really saw him being angry. Maybe. But he would never act out on it. But you know, in spite of all this, Jack was a sinner. He was estranged from God, who loved and watched over him so much. And he knew this. He told me of a time as an altar server when the priest wanted him to go the next step, to commit his whole life to the Lord and to move to that step of being a minister, being a priest. And he refused. Because Jack was honest, and he told him, knowing his lifestyle, that he didn't want to do that and not live up to it. He knew that he was a sinner, and he knew about running away from the Lord God who loved him so much. God, who gives the breath of life, did not stop pursuing Jack. Because in spite of all the enemy's desires, God had a plan that was so perfect and so beautiful for this man called Jack, Roger Haynes. So God allowed one of his daughters to go to Boston and mess up Jack's plans. And Jack fell in love with this little skinny one at that time. And soon there were bells ringing. He married this Jenny Haynes, and he moved from Boston. And he confessed that if he had not moved from Boston, his marriage would never have lasted. Because he knew that he was a sinner. But God demonstrates his love. And when this man who took on two jobs to satisfy the needs of his family, one night traveling on the highway, the 401, driving and sleeping behind the wheel, and at the last moment, the Lord opened his eyes from his sleep, because right coming to him was a big truck, and I don't think he really wanted to meet that one. It would have been the end of Jacques. God had the plan of life. The enemy, from his childhood, with that childhood accident that he had, wanted to take him out. And then the enemy didn't succeed with this. He went on. How did he go on? First there was diabetes. Then there was a problem with the lungs. And then there was a realization that there was a heart issue. Because the intent of the enemy was to take him out before he can experience the amazing love, the transforming power of God. And Jack, when it was brought to his attention, the seriousness, he was willing, first of all, to give up smoking. Because that should have helped. He was willing to give up alcohol consumption, because that was another issue. But he was still trying to run from the God who loved him and pursued him with such vigor and with such tenderness. Until 2014, when the ultimatum came. And Jack Roger Haynes came to realize that God, the creator of the whole universe, really loved him, having given Jesus Christ to die for his sin and to give him not only life, but what St. John 10:10 says, abundant life. Jack committed his life to Jesus Christ. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Those of you who might not know, Jack had to walk around with an oxygen tube because he couldn't breathe on his own, and he got fed up at one point, and he said to the Lord, I am tired walking around with this tube. And the Lord said, okay, put it down. And for many a day, Jack walked around and he cooked and he did all sorts of things without having to use that, because he was beginning to understand that when God says he will take care of us, he does. It is not his intention to take away from us. It is his intention to give to us, to enrich us, to multiply us. So faith began to grow in this man who for all those years ran from the God who loved him so much. And because he did not want to be a burden to his family, and with the thought of one of his feet having to be amputated, he said to the Lord, "I want to come home." I remember when Jenny called me on Friday the 9th, and I knelt beside his still warm body to pray. And I was seeking to find out how to pray. And the Spirit of God made me aware of the fact that it was Jack's desire to go home. So you can only thank God, as opposed to asking God to bring him back. And I remember we joined hands around that body lying on the floor, and we prayed. I felt it. I don't know if anybody else did, but the whole atmosphere of the room changed. Because at that moment, we were willing to say, "Lord, if you want him so much, then we release him to you." But you see, today is not necessarily about the man, Jack, that I've been speaking about so much. Today is really about God. The God who loves you and me so much and have been pursuing us. And because we believe that if we dare to trust him, he is going to stop us from enjoying life. That is a lie. That is the enemy's trick. That is the enemy's scheme to stop you from knowing the love of God that passes understanding, from experiencing the fact that this God not only protects and provides, but he sustains. He said he will keep those who have given themselves to him, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. Whatever we have given to him, he will keep it safe. Better than any bank vault. Better than any mattress. He will keep it safe. You and I, if we don't know this God, this love, that is the reason why God allowed Jack to die at this time. To invite us to a possible banquet of rejoicing so that you can hear once again, "Lord, how much I love you. Lord, how much I want to spend time with you. How much I want to care for you. How much I want to show you the magnitude of my goodness. If only you will surrender yourself to me." We don't have to wait like Jack until sickness and pain and disease grips our lives. We can do it while we still have the strength and vigor, so that with our hearts we believe and with our mouths we confess that God is a good God. See, Jack came to understand how much God loved him. Let me just close with this. I remember every year when I was still in Barbados, so after I'd gone back home from studying, or even while I was at home, I would come up almost every year and we would be doing some project on the house. And this particular year, I was doing some close boarding. And normally, every time I do something, I'd be saying praise the Lord. And this particular time, I was working in the bedroom and I was trying to work and there was something that was difficult. And then Jack said, "You know, I haven't heard you say praise the Lord at all today." Because he was listening. And you can better believe that soon after I said praise the Lord, what was so difficult, the boards that were refusing to go and knit together, they went in so easily. Because God wanted to remind me, as he was drawing Jack, that all our abilities and all our potentials are found completely in him. So, whatever it is you might be hiding in, God knows. I don't have to spell out anything to you. If the Spirit of God say to me, spell it out, I will spell it out. But God wants you, where you are right now, to hear his voice speaking to you, telling you, just as he was telling Jack, I want to spend time with you. I want to have a relationship with you. So that you can experience my promise. Abundant life now, an eternal life later. This is why I can stand and rejoice, because I know that Jack is alive. He who die and believe in me will live. I know that Jack has the hand of God in his hand, holding him. And he is not in any more pain. As he said to his daughter, Tecida, and his wife, Jenny, it is okay. Because he knows the God of the universe. We are going to commit this mortal frame to the ground. But Jack is alive. And all of us can leave here today thanking God for the fact that he allowed Jack to die so that we can hear how much he cares for us. And we too can live. I pray, God, that the blindness that the enemy will seek to use will be destroyed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That the deafness that the enemy will seek to use to stop you from hearing will be shattered through the blood of Jesus Christ. That the heart that the enemy seek to imprison, that the God who says in his word, as Jesus stood in the temple, speaking, saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to hear the news and experience God's favor. I pray, God, that all of us will be able to say, Jesus, you have my hand because I give you my heart. The angels will rejoice. The cloud of witnesses will rejoice. And you can better believe that your life will never be the same. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for the life of Jack Roger Haynes, whom you loved with an everlasting love, whom you have called to be with yourself. We remember him today, Lord, and we say thank you for giving him to us, for allowing him to serve you in his generation. We bless you for your mercy and your goodness, which have followed him all the days of his life, that now the trials of this world are over and death itself is past. And we pray, O God, that you will receive Jack into your perfect kingdom. bring us with us who will surrender ourselves to you, who will allow you to live your life through us that others may see you and glorify you. Help us to serve you faithfully to the fullness of your eternal joy through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. And so we say together the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in you and in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's children say, amen.